We live in a society these days, brothers and sisters, where no one wants to submit to anybody. This rebellious attitude has entered into the church. I see it. You probably see it. People do not want to voluntarily submit to their leaders. Yet Christ is the head of the church, and He has ordained the relationship within the church for their good.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and we have a letter from Walter and Glenda from Texas. Dear Pastor Lundstedt, we are so glad we discovered your program. We are learning and understanding God's Word more and more. We appreciate your method of teaching God's Word. May the Lord continue to bless you and your ministry. Grateful for you, Walter and Glenda. Well, Walter and Glenda, thank you so much for your encouragement. I'm grateful to the Lord for you. It's such a blessing to hear how God is using His Word to bless His people.
Greg, your message today asks the question, what do we really need? And I imagine if you asked that question to 100 people, you'd get 100 different answers.
Dave, that's probably true. But like our Lord said to Martha, there's only a few things that are really important, really only one. But what do I mean? Let's find the answer as we turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 and 2.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
And he says he addresses all the saints in Christ Jesus. Now, we are not called saints because of our behavior. We are called saints because of the reality of who we are in now. We are in Christ Jesus, the holy and righteous one. We've had our sins forgiven. We are declared righteous. We are saints by calling. And certainly these Philippians were not called saints because of their behavior, or indeed they would have not been commanded to do all things without complaining and grumbling. Or they wouldn't have been commanded for unity and sinning to live in harmony, or to be anxious for nothing. They were saints by position. And then God's Word calls us to be saints in practice as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. They were in Christ, all the saints in Christ Jesus. Now this phrase "in Christ" is so important. There's no way to be righteous and holy apart from being in Christ Jesus. You see, when you repent of your sin and place your faith in Christ Jesus, you are delivered from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son. You are redeemed. The payment of the price of your sins is paid by Jesus' death on the cross applied to you. You are baptized, placed into the body of Christ, that spiritual reality, identified with Christ, and then there's a physical one that mirrors that. You are set apart, sanctified, made holy in Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you, Christ in you, and once separated by sin, you are now together with Him, forgiven. You become His possession. We are bought with a great price. We are set apart from sin, and you are united to the very life of God. We are in Christ, and He is holy, and thus we are in position holy. Now, we saw in 1 Peter that the Lord says, be holy because I am holy. What we are in position, the Lord wants us to be in practice. Now, we're not going to get there perfectly till we're in glory, but He wants us to become more and more like Jesus. You see, without Christ, you are in your sins. You are identified by them. But once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are no longer identified by sin, but you are identified with the sinless, spotless Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's turn there for a second. 1 Corinthians 6. You see, before you were saved, God sees us through our sin. But when we're saved, we're saints. We're set apart. Tremendous reality. Our sin is no longer in the way. We have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Hey, those who are in their sins, have not been forgiven by Christ, are not going to inherit the kingdom. Don't you know that? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, that's those who have relations apart from marriage, idolaters, adulterers, that's those who commit adultery, effeminate or homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And I love this phrase, and such some of you were. You were. You used to be in those sins. You were identified by those sins. But notice what he says, but you were washed. What a wonderful thing. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. Tremendous reality. We're identified by our sin, whatever it is, all those different spheres of sin. And when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we're washed clean and we are set apart. We are holy in Christ. We are saints. He made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We are saints because we are set apart in Christ and he is holy. We are united to him, forgiven in Christ. Are you a saint? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation? You trust in him, you'll be forgiven of your sins. And you will be declared righteous. You'll be right in God's sight. Holy saints. And so the apostle Paul wants to remind them who he's writing to all the saints in Christ Jesus, those who've been set apart in Christ Jesus. Tremendous, wonderful reality. Are you a saint in Christ Jesus? Are you a saint in Christ Jesus? Then this letter applies to you. Well, notice back in our passage, there's an addition to this. And he says here, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, that's the town they're writing to, including, or you could say literally with, actually here, with the overseers and deacons. So what can we learn from this? Well, specifically, the church in Philippi had overseers and deacons, right? Plural, it did. And the apostle Paul personally includes them in this greeting to all the saints, including specifically the overseers and deacons. They are saints, and they are within that context something else. Overseers and deacons. They are numbered with the saints. Now, with this in mind, concerning overseers and deacons and their duties, we don't have full time to go into this today, but I want to briefly summarize their roles, because Paul mentions them. Paul mentions them. Again, notice the plurality with the overseers and deacons. And so what's an overseer? Well, it's a term to describe one who oversees. Episkopos, it speaks of caring for, watching out for, seeing, really looking after. Now, it's interesting in Scripture the term overseer and elder are interchangeable. Titus chapter 1, verses 5 to 7 uses them synonymously. You can read that on your own time. Also in 1 Peter 5, along with Acts 20, we see that those who are overseers and elders are to shepherd. So we're going to see. There's good evidence that we see overseer and elder are interchangeable terms. One describing the office in a sense, one describing the duty in a sense. But they're interchangeable even in that. So what is the work of overseeing? Well, obviously it has the idea of oversight, watching out for, looking after the flock of God. The overseers within the church of Philippi of all the saints in Christ Jesus. They're looking over and watching over the saints in Philippi in Christ Jesus. Now, 1 Timothy 3 reveals that God gives some men, not women, the desire to the office and the work of an overseer. Then we see in Acts chapter 20:28, his Spirit appoints them in the church, as we see in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, through the human recognition that those men meet the spiritual qualities revealed in those passages. Specifically, that the men must exhibit the character of Christ as revealed in those passages and must hold fast the faithful word that they can feed and protect and lead and watch over the flock of God, the church. Indeed, in Hebrews chapter 13, 1 Peter 5, Acts 20, 1 Thessalonians 5, clearly reveal what overseers are to do. Specifically, they are to shepherd the flock, watching over their souls, and they are those in charge over them, looking after, guarding the flock, feeding them with the word of God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. And start with verse 7. Remember those who led you. They were leading them. You've got to submit to be led, by the way. Remember those who led you, who what? Spoke the word of God to you. And considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Go down to verse 17 of chapter 13 of Hebrews. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. As those who will give an account, let them do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. We see in 1 Peter 5 that our shepherd, the flock of God, awaiting the chief shepherds and his reward. We see in 1 Thessalonians 5 that the body is to appreciate those who diligently labor among you, exercising oversight. We see that. Those who have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. You will highly esteem them in love because of their work. Their work is being in charge over you and giving you instruction. That's what it is. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. We know from Acts 20, and you can read this on your own time, that they are to shepherd the flock because there are threats to the flock from within and without. So then, we see that elders specifically are to do these things. We also see that within the elders there are those who have different giftings. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Within elders and overseers. Again, synonymous. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. Let the elders who rule well, or lead. Let the elders who lead or rule well, that means they're doing a good job, says, be considered worthy of a double honor. Especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. There are elders who watch over the flock. They meet the qualifications. They're watching over a spiritual condition. But there are also those who work hard, especially at preaching and teaching. And I believe those are those who have a gift of pastor teacher, who are also elders. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. So we live in a society these days, brothers and sisters, where no one wants to submit to anybody. This rebellious attitude has entered into the church. I see it. You probably see it. People do not want to voluntarily submit to their leaders. Yet Christ is the head of the church, and he has ordained the relationship within the church for their good. So if you have this attitude, then you are rebelling against Christ, because he is the one, through his word, who says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they watch out for your souls. And obviously, if you're going to submit to them, they're going to tell you something, right? So with that in mind, in a nutshell, elders are overseers, they're shepherds, they're those men who in the Holy Spirit has created a desire, and they've been appointed through the qualifications of the Word of God to look out, to protect, to lead and feed the flock, the unadulterated Word of God. They watch out for the spiritual condition of the flock. There are spiritual leaders who lead by example of faith, yielding completely to the head of the church, who is Jesus Christ. So then, Paul and Timothy too, the saints in Philippi in Christ Jesus with the overseers. And notice he includes back in our passage, including the overseers and deacons. This is a troublesome passage for some Baptist churches because they don't have overseers. They have only deacons. Not just being joking here. There are a lot of good Baptist churches that are salt in the word that have one little problem that I have. They call their leaders deacons rather than overseers. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But here there are two different groups in the Bible. There are the overseers who are leaders, who rule, who share the word of God and watch over your souls, who have charge over you. And there are also deacons. Now this word deacon simply means servant. That's exactly what it means. And there are two words that were not translated in our English translations. They were not translated, but transliterated. And by the way, that makes it difficult to understand them because they're transliterated. One is deacon. So we have the word deacon. It means servant, literally servant. The other one is baptized. It means to identify with, place into. They were transliterated just from right over from the Greek, baptizo and diakonos, right? And so we can have a misunderstanding to what a deacon is. But here specifically, the term deacon means simply servant. That's what it means. Those who are watching over, overseers and the servants. And these are recognized, because everyone should be serving, right? We're all bond servants, right? But there is a special, evidently recognized class of servants called deacons. They are recognized servants who meet the qualifications of this recognition in the Word of God. And again, as I mentioned earlier, there are some Baptist churches who have kind of skewed this by calling their elders basically deacons, so then they require them to meet their qualities of leaders rather than just those of servants. So we're going to see. Deacons do not lead, they serve. They meet the physical, temporal needs of the body of Christ as led by Christ, according to his strength alone. Turn to 1 Timothy 3, and we have the qualifications for deacons. For servants, recognize servants in the church. 1 Timothy 3, verse 8. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. It's the faith in Jesus Christ, by the way. And let those also first be tested. You don't just say, that looks like a good deacon. Okay, let's appoint that person. There's a testing that goes on. There's a testing. Let them first be tested. Then let them serve. Let them deacon as deacons, or let them serve as servants, if they are beyond reproach. Women, and now it adds in women in this context. Women, likewise, be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be husbands of only one wife, one woman, men, and good managers of their children and their households. For those who have served well as deacons, those who have deaconed as deacons, obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Deacons are recognized servants. Recognized servants. Men and women. And because we see men and women, they don't lead, because women are not to lead or exercise authority. It is a serving position completely. And we see an example of a woman who is a servant, who is a deacon. Turn to Romans chapter 16. Verse 1. And notice the description that Paul has of her. It's pretty awesome, by the way. I commend to you our sister Phoebe. She's a sister in the Lord, okay? Who is a diakonos, or servant of the church, which is in Cenchrea. She's a deacon of the church there. She's a recognized servant. That you receive her in the Lord in a worthy manner of the saints, again saints, right? And that you help her in whatever manner she may have need of you, for she herself has also what? Been a helper of many, and of myself as well. Recognized servants are helpers. They serve the Lord Jesus Christ by serving the body of Christ. Deacons are recognized servants who meet the qualities of 1 Timothy chapter 3. And what do? They help. They serve. And here we have two deacons, man and a woman. And they serve, and they've been faithful so far by God's grace. I have never had an issue where I've asked something to do and they said, they've always just done whatever I've asked in the Lord. They've helped me tremendously. Great help. And I believe there are other people here who are deacons, I believe, that God is testing and seeing that they would be recognized. So within the church, there are these offices, in a sense, of overseers and deacons. Recognized. You know who they are. Recognized. So with this in mind, we've seen that Paul and Timothy were bond slaves of Christ. They were saints set apart for his work. And Paul desired for them to recognize that, to understand that. But notice, not only do we see the privilege that we have as believers to serve Christ, not only do we see the great position we have as saints, lastly, notice we see his great provision. Back to Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints who are in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. Verse 2, here's the greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the greeting. This is the greeting. Some would say it's just a generic greeting, the standard Greek portion, grace to you, the standard Hebrew portion, peace, which on a surface level is true, but I believe it goes much farther than that, inspired by the Spirit. Well, what does he mean by grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor in the person of Christ. It is that which we could not do for ourselves. It is his mercy and grace. It's his favor towards us. In Scripture, we see it is none other than an attribute of the living God. 1 Peter 5:10, he is the God of all grace. And we see throughout Scripture that this characteristic describes the Lord. He was full of grace and truth. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Jesus Christ personifying the grace of God. It is summed up in the person and work of Jesus Christ, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace is what God does for sinful man through his Son, which he cannot earn, does not deserve, and will never merit. And it is how we are to function daily. We're to function by his grace, and that's God's desire, grace to you, that you would function by his grace on a daily basis, relying on him. You know, we're not adequate to consider anything as coming from ourselves. Apart from him, we can do nothing. His grace is sufficient. His power is perfected in weakness. God wants his saints to function by his grace. I can't do it, but I trust you. You're faithful. You'll do it through me. Your grace is sufficient. The Apostle Paul functioned by the grace of God. He clearly functioned by it. You can look in 1 Corinthians 15. He spoke by God's grace. And this is God's desire for us in this greeting, grace to you. We saw in 2 Peter, grace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Grace to you. Do you see God's grace in the person of Christ as your provision for life? He's all you need. Trust in Jesus. He's gracious. He's merciful. He will, by his grace, provide for you. He will, by his grace, lead you and direct you and take care of you. And guess what? There's the result of grace, which is peace. Grace to you and peace. Peace never comes before grace. You see, we were at enmity with God, and when we trusted in Jesus Christ, we were justified and we had peace with God. We're at peace now. But yet personally, in our day-to-day actions, the Lord Jesus made it clear, my peace I leave with you, right? Not as the world gives. He is the God of peace, Philippians chapter 4. He will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus with his peace if we rely on his grace. We trust in him. We depend on him. We take our requests to him. We're thankful to him. You see, he is the God of peace. Grace and peace don't come from experience, don't come from worship, do not come from going to church, do not come from service or from a book. Notice our passage says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God wants for his people. This is Paul's inspired desire for the Philippian church and for you and I, saints. Grace to you and peace. May you function in God's grace. May you have the peace that results from walking rightly with the living God.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the few moments we have left in today's broadcast, in your message today, you talked about the source of peace. Briefly take a moment and share with us that insight again.
You know, Dave, the source of peace is not what we might think. And we often strive to find peace by doing things, whether it's volunteering or serving at church or even going to church. And don't get me wrong, most of these things are good and right in the context of a right relationship with the living God, but they alone do not bring peace. They may bring what appears to be relief, but they cannot deliver the peace you're seeking. True peace only comes through the living God in the person of Jesus Christ.
when we recognize our lost condition, repent of our sins, ask Him to forgive us. At that moment, according to the Word of God, regardless of your life's circumstances, you will find peace with God. And not just a fleeting sense of peace, but the real thing, real peace. If you long to experience the peace that surpasses understanding or comprehension, then you need a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. And if that's your desire today, take that next step to a real relationship with the living God. You will never regret it.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.